of a sudden. And then there's, I read these jokes while choosing my favorite dark sock and sandal combinations, Rufus Leakin. So there's some good stuff in here. So I want to start us off with that. And this was the joke for today. Now, y'all know the Dairy Queen is not open yet, right? Some of you are already shaking your head. Hang with me now. Hang with me. Because Dairy Queen's not open yet, they got some good stuff. But do you know where the best place is to learn how to make banana splits? Sunday school. You're with me. All right. So 101 dad jokes. There's number one. 100 more to go. I know y'all are really excited about this, aren't you? We're going to continue in our series called Wisdom Cries Out. This is a series that Pastor Dan and I are working in and presenting to you about what the Bible has to say to us. There's a scripture memory verse that we have with the sermon series. I want to share that with you today. It's going to be up on the screen. And I have to confess to you that I am behind in working on my memory verse for this, so I don't have it memorized. I've got the concept, but I don't have the words down. So I'm just going to read it with you and work with you. After this week, we've got three more weeks. So I've really got to work on getting it down, but it's going to be a good one. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Let's read it together. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. Let's read that again. Proverbs 1, 20 and 21. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. Wisdom is crying out to us. So what is this wisdom coming from? Well, this wisdom comes from God. Where do we see God's wisdom today? Well, we see it in people. God gives the gift of wisdom, and he can impart that to us. We see it in circumstances, and experience teaches us wisdom. But the eternal wisdom that comes to us comes from God's Word. And we can look at it, we can bank on it, we can look at God's Word, and it will be faithful, it will be true every time. And so as wisdom cries out to us in these six different areas of our lives, what is God speaking to us? What is he trying to help us with? And this particular week, we're talking about relationships. Relationships. What does the Bible instruct us about growing in relationships? Let me say first off, if you want to follow in your outline, you'll see the 10 goals that were there. We can talk about those a little bit later on too. But the first blank in your outline is friends are important. Friends are important. I don't think anybody doubts that. When God created Adam and Eve, Adam was there in the garden by himself with all the animals. And God said it's not good for man to be alone. And so he gave Adam Eve, who was a helpmate and a wife, but it was somebody else he needed. He needed to be able to identify with. And we are social people. We need to have people around us, but not just any kind of people, people that will help encourage us and lift us along the way. Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of friendship. Thank you that you are with us today. Excuse me. And Lord, this is your word. We ask that you would help us to understand and to apply what your word has for us. Holy Spirit, speak to your church, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The voices that we allow to speak to us are pretty important. Voices that speak, that help, that encourage, that lift us up. It makes a difference in our lives. It makes a difference in our days. It makes us be able to have wisdom to be able to move forward. These voices are significant. I have a quote for you in the outline. It says this: The victory of friendship lies not in how many friends we have, but in how many friends will stand with us in challenging times. Do you agree? You may have 1,753 friends on Facebook, but having a few key friends that you can lean on is vitally important. Proverbs 18:24 says this, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Jesus is that friend. Now, there are other friends we can have that are going to be common core that we, well, not educationally, they would be core with us. They'd be standing there with us and helping us along. I believe this is talking not only about those friends that we would sometimes consider as core to us as family, but it's also talking about Jesus Christ who will never leave us and never forsake us. These voices that we allow to speak in our lives, they're significant and they can influence us positively. Proverbs 13:20 says this, "He who walks with the wise will grow wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." There's a positive and negative. And so as we see when Solomon writes most of these Proverbs, when he writes these Proverbs, there's a positive part and there's a negative part. Or sometimes they give the positive part and they reiterate it in other words. But if you're walking with wise people, you will grow wise. Because those people that speak into our lives and that we listen and we allow to take in their understanding, that helps us be able to grow as well. Voices can influence us positively. Our influencers can also lead us down the wrong path. The Bible talks about this a lot. 1 Corinthians chapter 15:33 says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." It also says in Proverbs 22:24-25, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared." We need the people around us that are going to help lift us. They're going to help encourage us and help us in those challenging times. Remember the story? If you read through Exodus, you see a lot of stories about Moses. And actually, the story continues in Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We learn about Moses. Moses had some friends that came in and chipped in to help him when he had some challenging times. He was leading the Israelites through the wilderness. And as he was leading them through the wilderness, they came across an invading army. They were attacking. And something happened, and Moses realized, as Joshua was down there leading the people of Israel fighting, whenever he had his hands up with the staff of God, the Israelites would start winning. But as you know, your arms start getting tired after a while. And so he put his arms down, and the Israelites would start losing. Well, you can only put your arms up. Everybody put your arms up. I hope everybody put on deodorant today. All right. Now just leave them up there for a little bit. You can tell after about 30 seconds or so, you can start feeling that pull. And so Moses takes the staff of God and he puts the staff of God up. If your arms start hurting, you can drop them. It's okay. I'm not a torturer. But as you put the staff of God up, it's got a weight, and eventually it would start sagging. It would start sagging. And he had two friends that said, we want to help Moses. So they came and they sat Moses down on a rock. And on one side you had Aaron, and one side you had her, and they each grabbed a hold of his arm as he was sitting down and held it up. And as they held it up, they were able to win the battle, and they kept doing that. But he couldn't do it by himself. We have to have friends that will help us, that will be able to encourage us and help us have our arms lifted and victorious. I still see two arms up, or three arms up. Guys, good job. Very good. You can put them down now, unless you're going for the championship. Oh, you lost. Okay. The question comes to us, who are the key influencers that we allow to speak into our lives? Who are the people, are they people that will lift our arms, that will encourage us to righteousness, that will help us follow Christ, that will help us along the way? Who do you trust? I want to share with you some insight from the life of the great theologian, Charlie Brown. The first picture here you see, there we go, Lucy. You already know where we're going, don't you? Lucy's here playing with a football. It's a wonderful day. And then she says, next picture, "Hey, Charlie Brown, I've got a gift for you." Now, if you know the history, you know Charlie Brown has seen Lucy hold this football and right at the last minute pull it away, and he goes kicking through the air and falls down. He says, "Rats. Here we go again." But here she is. She's saying, "Well, Charlie Brown, it's okay. Next slide. You can trust me. I won't really do it this time." And so Charlie Brown leans back and he starts to run. And as he runs, And of course, good friend that Lucy is, the last slide shows her saying, "Charlie Brown, aren't you ever going to learn? And don't you realize that there are people that are in our lives that we can't depend on, but we start trusting in over and over again, don't we? And the question comes to us, David, are you ever going to learn? People are known by their character. Paul talks in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He says this, "Don't be yoked together with unbelievers. For what does righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. I will be a father to you and you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." And we have to be careful about the influencers in our lives. Who is going to influence us? There are people that influence us positively and negatively. But if we have unbelievers in our lives, we cannot be yoked together and come away unscathed. If there are people that are unbelievers, that are not walking with Jesus Christ, and they are a significant voice in our lives, they will lead us astray at some point and we will be hurt. Now, how many of you have unbelieving friends? Okay. Hopefully everybody's hand's going to go up, because we want to have people that don't know Jesus that we can influence and that we can help them understand the best way is with Jesus Christ. Okay. When you're reading this verse, it says, "Come out and be separate." It's not saying isolate yourself from anybody outside the church. That's not what it's saying. As an example, where did Jesus go? When Jesus was walking around, he went with the people, right? And the Pharisees and the Sadducees accused him of always being with tax collectors and sinners. So Jesus' example is to go where the people are. And in fact, in reality, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? But the idea of having your closest friends, your deepest friends as Christians helps you move in the right way and encourages you to make the right choices. And there are several categories of these. First off, I have a spouse and significant other. Of course, this passage is often used. Don't be unequally yoked. This passage is often used to talk about the person you're going to marry. Don't marry an unbeliever. If you marry an unbeliever, you're going to be led astray. And when the idea of being yoked is two oxen or two cows that are pulled together, and the idea that Paul is using here is if one is yoked together, the stronger one is going to lead. And this other cow is trying to pull away, trying to follow Jesus, but the strong cow is going to keep them from going the direction they need to go. Or, what if you are the believer and you are the stronger one in the relationship? Is it still okay to marry that person? Let me tell you what will happen. If you are the stronger person and you're firm in your commitment and you will not lead them, you will not let them lead you astray, what's going to happen is they will have a resentment toward you because you are unbending. And there will be conflict and pain and loss. When Scripture tells us not to do that, not to marry an unbeliever, not to be unequally yoked, it's telling us we need to be careful who we choose. But there are some people who say, "Well, I'm not going to marry an unbeliever, but it's okay to date an unbeliever, right?" What's marriage? What's dating for? It's to have a good time with somebody else that's the opposite sex. Okay. But the goal eventually is to find a mate. And if you get yourself tied to someone in the early stages of someone that is dating, that you're dating, that is not a believer, at what point do you cut that off? Well, I can be with him for a little while, just have some fun with him. Okay, but at what point do you say, no, I can't date you anymore? Well, you're not a Christian, I can't date you anymore. Well, you knew that from the beginning. What's different now? Well, I'm getting too close. Well, folks, the closer you get, the harder it is to make those kind of decisions. And if you are really a believer and you're trusting in Jesus, save yourself some heartache and don't invest yourself in a relationship, dating or otherwise, that's going to help you move away from God or cost you pain later. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. He knew a little bit about marriage. He knew a little bit about the pain of marriage, apparently, as you read some of the Proverbs. He said, a wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. Or I remember as a teenager finding this one, Proverbs 21:19, it says, better to live in a desert with a quarrelsome and better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife. I wonder what happened before that proverb was written. Or there's Proverbs 25:24, better to live on the corner of a roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. There's a story there that we don't have. And before anybody says, oh, why are you all picking on the wives? The same can be true of the husband. Okay, it can be true both ways. We need to make sure that as we choose the people that are really going to invest in our lives and walk with us for life, there are people that are believers that we can be yoked together and work together with common vision, common values for life. And beyond those that you date or moving toward marriage in, there's also other categories like business partners and best friends. Those people that you join yourself to, and it may be contractual, it may be an agreement, or it may just be a common friendship. But when you have those friendships and they influence you, they can influence you in the wrong way if they're not believers. You say, but I'm supposed to be influencing them. Hopefully you are. But let me tell you something. If you have this what might be an equal relationship, you will find yourself compromised in some way because you are listening to them. And you say, well, it's not really that bad. Now, I'm not saying you need to go out and cut off all your friendships and only have friendships that are in the church. And as sometimes some people use that previous passage saying, you need to come apart and be separate. You need to leave the world. I'm not saying you can't have friendships there. And we talk about Jesus. I'm saying you can't have people that are the core and your core circle that speak into your life that are going to lead you away from God. It happens incrementally. Do you remember what happened? George Barna talked about the frog and the kettle. You remember that story where you take a frog and you drop it in boiling water and the frog jumps out immediately? Or you put the frog in lukewarm water and you gradually turn the temperature up? And because the frog can't sense the change in the water temperature, it stays there comfortable until it dies. And that happens in our relationships too. We don't realize the way we're being affected. We got to listen to what the Apostle Paul is saying to us, not to be unequally yoked, not with spouse or significant others, not with business partners and best friends, not with advisors and investors. People that give you advice, and as I thought about this, the first thing that popped to my mind was Facebook. There are plenty of people willing to give you advice on Facebook. Am I right? And you can make a post about something you're doing, and you'll have 15 people say, "Well, have you tried this? Have you tried this? Or I'm feeling sick to my stomach because of, well, have you tried this home remedy? Have you tried this one?" And then there are people that private message you as well, and say, "These are the things that need to happen." Now, people are very free with their advice, but who do you listen to? Who do you listen to? That question, those people that advise us, that give us counsel for our lives, we need to make sure that we surround ourselves with positive, wise people who love the Lord. We have to make sure that our identity comes from what non-believers, think about us, and not what believers think about us either, but what God thinks about us. We need to have that be our defining moment. God, What would you have me do? I want to ultimately yoke myself to you and you only. But there are other people around to help in the process. And sometimes we need to have people, we have Jesus with skin on, right? We have people around you. Look around at the people that are here with you. I can tell you something about the people that are here. Other than my family, nobody came here today to look at my rugged good looks. Johanna raised her eyebrows. You didn't come for that reason, Johanna? No? All right. So nobody in this room then came for that reason. They didn't come for me. They came because they want to be encouraged. It's rough out there. It's hard life. And everybody in here is wanting some help to be able to move forward. And there are people in here that you can look to and you can rely on and you can get some help. We have to make sure that the people that we're trusting in, the people that we're relying on, are people that can help us move in the right direction. Now, relationships, as we're talking about today, what does, as wisdom cries out to us about relationships, it's not all about the relationships of people who influence me. It's also about the people that I actually influence. It's vitally important that I, as a leader, lead other people toward godly character in the relationships that God has placed me in. There are people that you have as friends that God wants you there to help influence them in the right way. They may be believers. But if you were the leader in their life, you can speak truth to them. And we hope that some of those people we can speak to that will listen to us are not believers, or we could say are pre-believers, because they're going to be coming to Christ. And to be sure that we are the ones that are the influencers. And our identity comes not from those people that are non-believers, but those people that are following Jesus and are trusting Him and listening to what He's saying. Who did Paul surround himself with? Saul, who later became Paul, he initially started surrounding himself with the Pharisees, and he was in what we have in our society today. He was in an echo chamber, okay, where you have certain people that you're only listening to what they believe about politics. And what these people say, you're saying that and you're echoing it over and over again. And you're shouting louder. And when you come across somebody else who believes something different than what you do, it's like, why can't you see the truth? But you're not willing to listen to them because you know the truth already. Paul was in this situation where he's listening to the truth of the Pharisees, that Jesus is a false prophet, that he was not really somebody that we were supposed to listen to, and he's leading people astray. And so he began to persecute them. And we find out that when Stephen, the first martyr, was being stoned to death, Paul said, hey guys, so you can throw your arm, throw those rocks better and get a good wind up and throw it hard, why don't you take your jackets off, leave them right here at my feet, and I'll watch them so you can do a better throw. And so he was guarding those jackets, those shirts, those cloaks, so that they could throw better and kill Stephen. And then he went on a rampage and got permission from the leaders of the Jewish faith to go through and do more persecution. And he would go to different places and he'd get people and he would throw them in jail and he would approve of their death. And on his way to Damascus, he encounters a white light. And he hears a voice that says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul, who later became Paul, said, who are you, Lord? He doesn't even get it. It's got this huge encounter with God. Well, God, I'm not persecuting you. Who are you that I'm persecuting you? And then he has a blindness and he is led to Damascus and Ananias prays for him. And there are scales that fall off of his eyes. As he's been fasting and praying, his whole world is upside down because the echo chamber he was in is no longer echoing with what he'd always heard before. There's been this new voice that he has no doubt is true, and he's got to figure out which way is up. Sometimes we have people in our lives that are saying things over and over and over again, and we listen outside that and recognize that I don't have the market on truth. I don't know everything, but the people that I'm listening to that are speaking into my life are people that are helping me pursue God. I had a doctor Dr. Valentine. He was a great doctor in every way. I went with him, went to him. I was probably 22, and I was planning to go on an extended fast, and I began to talk to him about what I was wanting to do, because they always say, talk to your doctor first, right? And so I went to talk to my doctor. I said, Dr. Valentine, I'm planning to go on this extended fast. Can you give me any counsel? And he said, yeah, don't do it. I said, no, I know I'm supposed to be doing this. I've got to do this. I'm just asking for your advice. Don't do it. Well, I knew in my heart that God had said I needed to do this. And I guess there was a resolve on my face or something that Dr. Valentine had seen. And so he said, all right, if you have to do this, then do this and this and this. But I've got to tell you plainly, I don't encourage you to do this. This is not a smart for your health. And my response was, I'm not doing this for my health. I'm doing this for my spirit. And I did. But that voice, and I believe Dr. Valentine was a believer. From those encounters that I'd had with him, I'm sure that he was a believer. But he was speaking and giving me advice contrary to what I knew in my heart God was saying to me. And we have to be careful that those voices, even those people that are in the faith that give us counsel, that we are listening and putting people around us that will help us, encourage us. And so after Paul came to the faith, who did he surround himself with? It was Barnabas. Barnabas, the encourager, the son of encouragement, who lifted him up and went and got him from Tarsus and brought him back to Antioch so they could live and work and do some incredible ministry there. And they took the first missionary journey together. And then he had Silas, who he took two more missionary journeys with. They went and invested and talked to non-believers and helped them to understand who Jesus was and plant churches all over the place. He had people like Priscilla and Aquila, co-laborers that worked with him that he influenced and they influenced him, and it was a mutually beneficial relationship. There was Apollos that he ministered to and with. And some people said, well, I'm following Apollos, I'm following Paul. No, we're one body, we're together, he said. He had people in his life to speak into his life that would help him move in the right direction. The psalmist says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. What does that mean? What does that mean? To live your life with having the wicked speaking into your ear and giving you counsel, giving you advice. Blessed is the man who does not do that. Blessed is the man who doesn't stand in the way of sinners, the way that sinners walk and the pathway that they go, to not be with them. Or to sit in the seat of mockers, not to be the place where when people are being ridiculing others and people are shaming others and people are hurting others. Don't be with them. Don't sit in that position. Allow yourself to be influenced and led by people that are wise. He who walks with the wise will grow wise. I have to be the kind of influencer that encourages people to right living. You do too. Hebrews 10:24 says this, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Another translation says, stir up. I spent several years of my life in the Deep South. When I was 3 and a half, I moved to West Monroe, Louisiana. And I lived there for about 7 and a half years before moving on. And I spent several years. But I can remember my first encounter with a fire ant. I was across the street from my house. And there were 5 of us that were playing together at my neighbor's house. And I have no idea what game we were playing, but we were playing in the front yard. And all of us were playing happily. And all of a sudden, I'm going to have to cover this. All of a sudden, one of the kids stands up straight and goes, ah! That was even worse than I thought. Okay. And then they ran off. Okay. And we kind of look at each other. Okay. What's going on? And then 2 more look up and go, I was left sitting there looking across at the person that was left of the five of us. And we're trying to figure out what in the world is happening. We didn't say anything offensive. We put on our deodorant that day. Well, actually, we didn't. I was too young for that at that point. But we were interacting, didn't know anything was wrong. And all of a sudden, I had great understanding of what had happened. You see, the way that the fire ants work, you don't have just one bite you. What they do is they crawl up your leg, and it's almost like one of them blows a trumpet and says, "Bite now!" And they all bite at once. And all of a sudden, I was like, I understand. And I start running across the street, into my house, screaming the whole way, going into the bathroom, and getting in the bathtub and trying to wash off these fire ants. I was not smart enough to try to knock the fire ants off my leg before I crossed the street, screaming, into the house and all the way to the bathroom. I waited, and so I had some pain in the process. Now, what you got to understand is, as you think about the fire ants, something, I don't know which one of the five of us did, but somebody stirred up those fire ants to activity because they decided they were going to do something. Somebody had tread on their area and they were going to get moving. And what I would say is, what Hebrews 10:24 is talking to us about is we need to stir each other up and get each other active toward what? Love and good deeds. When you surround yourself with people that are moving toward Christ and are saying, we want to live for Him, we want to love for Him, we want to honor Him, we want to live like Jesus, the love that we have will be spread. The good things we are doing will be for God's honor. But we need to stir each other up that way. And I need to be the kind of influencer that stirs people up, that encourages them to right living. And finally, I must display what I say I believe. 1 Peter 2:1 says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Now, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about the words that we say and the things that we interact with. But the one word in this verse that I want to draw your focus on is hypocrisy. If you believe that there is the right way, you need to do it. Now, let me say this. When I talk about distancing yourself from friends, because many of you have unbelieving friends. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but some of you have unbelieving best friends. People that are really in your core, in your inner circle. So what do? You get out, go home and call them on the phone and says, hey, my pastor said I can't be here for anymore. Bye. That's really a good way to influence them. No, you don't do that. But you may need to start distancing yourself from them some. And not being their best friend or being allowing them to influence you as much so that you can get your head in the right way and stop having an echo chamber of negativity or an echo chamber of leading in the wrong way. Because sometimes we don't even realize. Now, sometimes it's coworkers. Well, what do you do about that? Well, create a little distance. Choose to invest yourself in some other ways. Is that hard? Oh, you better really believe it. That's hard. But if we want to honor God, if we want to grow in our relationships, our relationship with Jesus Christ, if we want to move ourselves further on the path of the way of walking with Him, folks, this is not a cult that says, come in our doors, make friends only with the people that are around you, disassociate yourself from everybody else, and we've got some Kool-Aid in the back, we'll serve you afterward. That's not what we're about. What we are about is this. Walk with Jesus. Jesus gave us the body of Christ, the church, to encourage us, to lift us up, to help us on the way. And if we are not having our key influencers in our life coming from that body, I don't mean First Church of God, I mean the church. There is one church. The people that attend the Baptist church, people that attend the Methodist church, people that attend the Nazarene church, there are believers there that love Jesus Christ with all their heart. That is a part of the church. Okay? And if we can't get our key influences in our lives from those believers, we will be unequally yoked and we will head down the wrong path and we will say, like Charlie Brown, oh, it happened again. pray. Say, Jesus, there's this person in my life or people in my life that I know don't know you. And I believe you put them in my life for me to influence, but I also recognize that they're leading me too. And I want you to be my leader. I want to follow you first. Help me be able to create enough distance that I'm listening to your voice more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you provide a body of Christ where we can have friends that can encourage us in the way. And Lord, I know that just like they were in first service, there are people here that are saying, but what do I do about this friend? I mean, I like him. I like to be with him. Holy Spirit, give wisdom. Wisdom cries out. And when we don't listen, we get burned. How we get from where we are now to where we need to be is a very individual process as we walk with you, because there's not one recipe for every person. But we know where we need to be. And I ask that you would help us to be wise and listen to you and respond to you, and help us have the people that are in our lives, the key influencers, the people that will lead us so we can yoke ourselves to them to honor you. And help us then be able to reach out and love and influence others because of what you are doing in us. Help us to surrender to you, I pray. In Jesus' name.